We are walking and talking with the students of 50 Miles More. The kids are standing up for themselves, and we are with them.
We are Busting Pencils!
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker. Here's what's trending in education news.
From MyStateLine.com, Wisconsin students walk 50 miles to Paul Ryan's hometown to protest gun laws. For a group of Wisconsin students, the March for Our Lives demonstration didn't end on Saturday. The group kept marching, walking 50 miles from Madison to Janesville to House Speaker Paul Ryan's hometown. The group, which is calling itself 50 Miles More, left Madison on Sunday.
And from the journal Sentinel.com, 50 Miles More students arrive in Paul Ryan's hometown and rally for gun control. So in front of a crowd of 200 parents, grandparents, and supporters on Wednesday, 40 Wisconsin students finished their 50-mile march in Speaker Ryan's hometown of Janesville.
That was a pretty cool group, though. It was a really neat, it was cool to see where all the kids came from.
Right. And so we've got two news stories here because we want to cover this as they, you know, obviously this happened a week ago when they left and they finished now. But so the combination of this idea and what's really kind of cool, people are like, okay, 50 miles, where did it come from? Where are they? Who are they? So there was a march in Wisconsin at the Capitol in on Madison on the day of the national march all across the country.
Right.
This was a small group of students and a superintendent who got together and pre-planned then after that rally would end Saturday that they would then walk, quote, 50 miles to Janesville to Speaker Paul Ryan's hometown. To put forward their demands. And along the walk, they would speak and do events. They would talk to people. They, you know, had some people beeping at them in support, people dropping off water and food and stuff like that. And they, they you know, a few that you read in here, there's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of pushback, but they were fine. They were fine. But it's 50 miles more. And what's really cool when you read and go on forward here and look at what's happened is that what they're trying to do is promote this and turn this into a 50-state movement. And they are now at 50milesmore.org where you can go and sign up. If you're an interested person or an interested student in another state, you can do this. Just so people understand, how did they walk 50 miles, right?
Right.
They didn't do it all in one day. It wasn't a marathon or anything like this. They broke it down into days, and so you take a look at the story. But it was really cool. They mapped it out together, and they planned to stop at schools along the way. And those host schools then kept the students, the 40 walking students, and that's where they spent the night and had food and debriefed from the day. And so then the next day they would get up and march even more miles. So putting this together was actually a really cool event. And when you talk to, in fact, later on in the show, we will be talking to the superintendent. He will tell you that the students put this together piece by piece, every single part of it, planning the distance, the maps, the school districts, creating the number of volunteers that were going to be there to bring them the food, then the school districts getting permission to stay at these other schools and everything like that. So, hey, power to the kids, right?
For sure.
They're just, you know, and you'll hear when we talk about this, these are not radical take your gun away kids from Wisconsin. Actually, later on in the show when we talk to them, you're going to hear that they're pretty reasonable.
Educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils Radio.
I wonder what Matt Damon's mom thinks about these crazy kids having their own damn opinions.
Wait, what? You want to know what my mom would say?
Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom. So it's getting pretty crazy out there. Students have decided, you know, and sadly in the wake of a lot of tragedy, to really put some voice out there. What do you make of this?
They're such an inspiration. It's phenomenal to listen to them. You know, it makes me think, wow, maybe things in education aren't quite as bad as I've thought, because they're completely intelligent and passionate and incredibly informed about what's happening in the country and deeply analytical about what's going on and articulate. I don't know, I was very inspired by all the marches that happened on the 24th. I think you had them there, right?
Well, you know, and I sent you an article here directly from Wisconsin. We had our own little group that decided that after the main march at the Capitol of Madison, they were going to march 50 miles. It's called the 50 miles more. And they were going to march 50 miles to Paul Ryan's, Speaker Paul Ryan's hometown of Janesville. And they did it and held a rally.
That's so fantastic. And they said I read that they were inspired by Martin Luther King's march from Selma to Montgomery, which just acknowledging today was the day that he was shot 50 years ago.
Yeah. So here's a little secret.
Yeah.
I rode out and found them on the road. And
you did?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I went out and we recorded some while they're walking interviews. And so I think it's really cool that, you know, that they're going to get to hear this show. And I didn't tell them that I would be talking to you specifically about their 50-mile march.
So you're going to have some of the recording on the show?
Yeah, the next show.
Oh,
it's really cool. I mean, we spent a lot of time out with them on the road, and then we spent some time with them actually yesterday. But, you know, so they're very inspirational. We're looking at the Parkland students as being inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something, though? What do you know? The critics out there saying, look, this is really just an adult movement that people are using kids to make adult statements.
Oh, no, I don't think that's true at all. Do you?
I don't think it's true, but we hear it all the time. It's like these kids can't possibly have their own opinions.
Well, they're having them. I mean, if one listens, you hear them speaking. I was in Santa Monica. There was a march there. Of course, there were 800 sibling marches all over the country in addition to the huge march in D.C. But there were students at the forefront of that march. Lots of them, and they were speaking at the podium, and I saw a woman in my generation walking ahead of me with a big sign saying, I'm following wherever these students are going. I think it's their movement. Anyway, people get afraid of movements that they can't control and understand, but something is happening here.
Well, see, and that's what I like to look at it as that what you're hearing is fear. You're hearing fear from those that are possibly threatened, who are in power, and their power is being threatened.
Absolutely. And you can't control. Once a movement begins, and we've seen this throughout U.S. history, there isn't any controlling it and there isn't any stopping it, and all social change has come about because of these movements. I think this one is a youth movement. It's about time we had it, and it's got momentum, and it's happening.
And what we can say here is, you know, from Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, and Busted Pencils, we're going to say cheer them on and say keep on going.
Yeah, I hope to be joining them whenever possible. There's another action on the 20th of April. Do you have something happening there?
There's going to be the national walkout. That's the one being organized by David Berliner. And in fact, we'll even be having a future interview with Dr. David Berliner, too, about the national movement. So maybe we'll get another chance to talk to you again about that specifically.
Very exciting. I'm really glad that you're covering the various movements that are happening on the different dates they're happening and where they're happening. It's really great. And your interview of the two moms from Parkland was really very powerful. So I'm glad you're covering all
that. We're trying our best.
Oh. Yeah, you're doing great.
Thank you, Nina.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Time for Tim to rant. This is Someone Has to Say It.
Lately, I've been outright critical of Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction and its Democratic leadership. Some have commented that I should tread lightly and that Governor Walker and the Wisconsin Republicans have done the most damage to public education. Hey, look, I agree when it comes to laying the blame on Walker and the Republicans for the demise of public schools and the demonization of our teachers. Act 10 was a disaster. However, I'm not talking about the general state of public education in Wisconsin. I am specifically critiquing rhetoric and policy that deals with teacher education and the path being followed by the Department of Public Instruction that will only exacerbate the damage set in motion by Walker, the Republicans, and Act 10. According to the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin, we have a teacher supply crisis. Nonsense! The crisis is the number of teachers leaving the classroom, the number of licensed teachers who won't go back to classrooms, and the plummeting enrollment in teacher preparation programs. That is an exodus. As a dean of a school of education, I have watched our undergraduate enrollments take a nosedive in the last 3 years. I meet with prospective students and parents who actively encourage their sons and daughters to avoid becoming a teacher. I know teachers that actively advise their students to avoid teaching, and I have talked to high school students who tell me they'll never go into teaching. When I ask why, I get this response. I've seen what my teachers go through. They're not allowed to teach. So many of them are miserable. No, thank you. Shortage areas are one thing, but mass demoralization that kills the desire to seek out teaching and or quit teaching altogether is something totally different. The fix from the Department of Public Instruction, teacher license deregulation, and privatization will do nothing to stop the exodus. In fact, Wisconsin's new rules for teacher licensure will create a bigger exodus. Alternative pathways in license deregulation using, quote, entities to certify future teachers is a slap in the face to every teacher that went through a rigorous licensing program to obtain a professional certification to meet Wisconsin's teaching standards. It's also incredibly insulting and demoralizing to the thousands of teacher educators that have spent their professional lives in the service of future teachers and their public schools. These professionals have produced the research that delves into finding out how to best serve the children's schools and communities of Wisconsin. None of this research supports or calls for the Department of Public Instruction's disruption of the teacher licensing process. In fact, if the democratically led Department of Public Instruction were really serious about the teacher shortage, they would define the real problem and then implement emergency steps to reclaim the noble profession of teaching. If this happened, I know quite a few teachers and teacher educators that would give even more than they give daily. We are crying for a remoralization plan.
From Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, teaching all children.
On the way, I met up with the students while they were walking. I will play you audio from 50 Miles More and follow up with the students to see how they feel things went.
Somewhere out in Janesville, actually Townsend Highway A, here with the Sherwood Hills High School marching 50 miles to Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan's house. Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan's house, how about that, right? With saying, yo, Speaker, what are you going to do for us? So who am I talking to first?
My name is Hugh Watchuk.
Welcome to Busted Pencils. So what do you have to say for the listener of Busted Pencils? Why are you out here?
We're really out here to make our voices heard. And so Paul Ryan actually talks about this and listens to us and what we have to say.
About what? I mean, what are you marching for? What are we talking about?
We're marching for gun reform, and we're really marching for safety in regarding to gun safety in schools and even in like the inner city of Milwaukee and all over the country. So yeah.
What's your name, please?
My name is Lauren Davis. I'm a junior at Sherwood High School.
Okay, and you're now, like you said, we're on mile 45, right? And it's been a long walk, and so this is gun control. What do you say for the adults out there that are criticizing you students for being too young to know or have any sense of what you're really doing?
I don't think it's ever too young to make a difference. And what we're here partly saying is, I am a deer hunter, and there's absolutely no reason that anyone should be able to have a weapon of war, nor a bump stock or any accessory to put on that gun that can fire off multiple rounds at once. And that is partly our message why we're here, and they just should face the facts and respect that. And
so with that message of a gun control message, it's not a gun ban message. You're talking about gun control. You know, so what is your hope with Speaker Ryan when you get to his house?
I hope that he listens to what we have to say.
Well, I mean, who's knocking at the door?
The whole country is knocking at the door.
The whole country is knocking at the door. And so what's your name, please?
My name's Shannon Carlson.
Well, welcome to Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. You're on mile 45. How are those legs?
I think that the feet is probably the worst. They feel like they're on fire.
Okay. Legs are okay. Feet are bad.
Yeah, but it's kind of different for everyone.
Okay, so why are you out here?
I'm out here to call for gun reform, like the two others said, and just I think that like a 50-mile march is like a real way to like get attention and get the attention that this like issue deserves, and also it keeps like we had all the March for Our Lives events already, and I think this is another way to like kind of keep the guns issue in the media and to not like let it slip away like it does many times over and over again.
Have you guys on the way, have people given you support? Do you want to talk about any specific moments?
We've had lots of support. You know, the majority of people we pass by and we see the cars and stuff have really been supportive to us. There's only been like a few throughout this whole time and you know, the people that aren't supportive, they just like they'll yell out something, and we don't want to respond to them negatively, so we'll say something like we'll start a chant like spread love, not hate. When they go low, we go high.
Right. What about you?
Yeah, we've had a lot of support the whole way, more support than not, and so we've had people. Lots of honks with the cars and yells at the window like, great job, keep it up.
What's 1510 AM Resistance Radio, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We are walking, well, we're not walking now, we're stopped here in the middle of Janesville somewhere out in the field with Sherwood Hills High School students walking 50 miles to Speaker Ryan's house to demand some common sense gun legislation, not a full outright ban, but common sense gun legislation. So girls, thank you so much for your time. And you know what we always, what we say on the show? You guys are truly busting pencils.
Thank you.
We are on the road with Sherwood Hills High School marching 50 miles to Speaker Paul Ryan's house. And we have another student, and your name is?
I'm Elliot Caston, and I'm from Sherwood, Wisconsin. I go to Sherwood High School.
Sherwood High School, Wisconsin. All right. So you're walking. We're here now, mile 45. We're sitting down. We're taking a break. What are you walking for? I mean, we've heard about gun control, gun banning. What is it?
So it's not a ban. It's a restriction on guns that we deem unnecessary for civilian use, such as assault weapons and devices that can mimic automatic fire, such as bump stock. The reason why we deem this stuff unnecessary is because you do not hunt with those. I mean, you can hunt people, but you don't hunt animals with those. And, you know, in civilian use, there's no real reason for it besides killing.
Is that a message that's getting confused by what's going on with the march in Washington, the March for Life? Is that all you kids are just out for a gun ban, and that message is getting confused with common sense gun laws?
All right. Yes, people are worried that we are for banning guns, but no, we are not doing that. What we're trying to do is regulate guns further. And that is our stance.
So it's not, this is not a bunch of gun banning. This is, we said, I've heard people refer to it as common sense gun laws. No bump stocks, background checks, 21 to purchase an assault rifle, maybe even an assault rifle's ban, depending on where it is. But not a
full-out ban on guns. I mean, almost everyone would say that's just ridiculous, and that people do have a right to be worried of if it's a full-on ban, because what's the purpose?
Right. Are you a hunter yourself?
No, I'm not a hunter, but I know plenty of people who are hunters, and I honestly don't care. You know, they're good people.
Yeah, I mean, I hunt. I go out. I don't need an assault weapon. I need one shot to take down a deer or to take out a turkey or something like that. I saw another sign at one of these that says, okay, when I'm hunting geese, I'm only allowed 3 shots. Why is an assault weapon allowed to have 30 shots? What do you think of that message?
I really agree with that message because, I mean, an assault weapon is anti-personnel, so you're using it against people versus a gun that you use to hunt geese. I'm guessing it's a shotgun. That, I mean, that has only three shots. It's a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the sign kind of had this thing that said, you know, so you're telling me geese are more protected than students in high schools.
Oh, and I believe that's appalling that our politicians keel in to the NRA's standards and what they want. You know, we should have common sense gun laws for and by the people.
Okay, here's the other comment. You're 11th grade. You're too young to have an opinion about this. You're just obviously mimicking some adult's agenda.
I believe that's not correct. I believe that a lot of my peers across the nation have had to pay the ultimate price due to lax gun laws. And I believe it's about time that lax gun laws are put to a stop. And I believe that we, as the youth, can change this.
You know what we say on our show? You are truly busting pencils.
Am I busting pencils?
Absolutely, man. Thanks for your hard work. We love it. In Janesville somewhere with the Shorewood High School students marching to Speaker Paul Ryan's house, and I am sitting here with...
Charlene Moore with Urban Underground.
And so you're here as an adult walking with the students, but I mean, your thoughts?
Absolutely. So the students at Shorewood have been so amazing. They wanted us to support them in this effort, and we couldn't say no. Urban Underground is a youth leadership organization that focuses on activism and organizing in Milwaukee. And so we had to be here. I'm here with my children. All three of my children are here with me because we understand the value of standing up for young people.
Is the media attention that, and you heard me talking to one of the students saying that they're too young to have an opinion. How, as an adult, what do you think about that?
Absolutely. Well, I've spent my life working with young people and high school young people in particular, and high school young people are one of the most resilient and energetic and brilliant young people that I've ever had the chance to encounter. So when we talk about our present, when we talk about our now, you know, a lot of people say, you know, young people are the future. Well, here's the difference. Young people they're the now.
Well, think about that. Right? They're our future, except when we disagree with them.
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, I'm watching all these critics, and you know, the first thing is they want to yell at the students. You're not engaged. You're not actively. All this apathy, and then all of a sudden, when they get engaged, we're going to criticize them.
And look at the work. Look at the magnitude of the work that these amazing young people. So not only these young people from throughout Wisconsin have done. Look at the young people throughout our country that have moved millions of people. Who can do that? Young people. They can do it.
That's truly a busting pencil statement. Thank you.
You're welcome.
1510 AM Resistance Radio in Janesville, busting pencils with Shorewood students who are walking to Speaker Paul Ryan's house. And your name is?
I'm Isaac McKee.
And Isaac, so you're the flag bearer, it looks like here, right? You're carrying the flag, 45 miles carrying this flag.
That
right? Besides carrying the flag, why are you out here?
Well, I'm here to make sure that there's a better future, a safer future for my siblings, my peers, and the next generation.
So, is this walk going to do it?
If this walk doesn't do it, the next one will.
So you're planning on more? This is active engagement.
I mean, we have to.
Is it gun control, gun banning? I mean, what are you walking for in this idea, for the march?
Personally, I think gun control is the option. Gun banning by no means is the right thing to do. I personally was raised, taught gun safety. I have fired many firearms in my life. I think that there should be no reason that someone should have access to a gun, especially when they're at a point where they're willing to kill many people. And you shouldn't give them the means to do so, I guess is the right words.
Thanks, man. Thanks for busting pencils.
5 minutes.
1510 AM Resistance Radio, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk on location somewhere in a cornfield in Janesville with Superintendent Brian Davis from Shorewood walking 50 miles to Speaker Paul Ryan's house. I got to talk to some of the students. What great spirits. I mean, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling inspired by the kids. Certainly sore, but inspired by the kids. You know, they've persevered through a lot of personal pain, but their mission is very clear, and they'll be in Janesville tomorrow to make it very clear what their policy demands are.
Well, I've talked about this, and you know, people are saying, hey, the kids are out there calling for a gun ban, and everybody I talked to said this isn't a ban.
No, this is not a ban at all. This is for reasonable gun regulation. When we're talking about automatic weapons, weapons of war, when we're talking about a 21-year-old, age limit, and talking about some of the other, pieces that they're demanding are I think, very reasonable.
Did they ask you for permission? I mean, how did this come about?
Yeah, so Nocadia had really just had the idea, and I wanted to be able to support our kids as much as we can. So we just started working on some of the details and really had to spend about a week saying, like, could this be real? And then, we were able to put enough of the details together from a safety standpoint and a map that it came to fruition in I think, about 3.5 weeks.
So the question, you're an adult. A lot of adults are out there saying these children can't have opinions, or they're too young to have formed opinions. You've been with them now 45 miles. You got to have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I'm inspired. I can guarantee you that they have their own opinions. If you know teenagers at all, they have their own opinions. And for my money, I'm going to invest in kids that are going to be voting for the next 60 to 8 years. They're here to stay. There's a vision for 50 marches in 50 states between now and November. Is what some of the kids had been talking about, to be able to talk to some of their peers in other states and do 50-mile marches similar to what we did. We've got a toolkit that works, we believe that this can be a national movement because we know the Parkland kids have been incredible inspirations to our kids, but they can't and shouldn't have to do it themselves. This is really about common sense gun reform, and that affects everyone.
Who's knocking on Paul Ryan's door? America's knocking on Paul Ryan's door. Right now, it's the kids of Shorewood that are going to be knocking in the next day or so.
Shorewood in Wisconsin, we've got kids from over 10 school districts, from Eau Claire to Madison to MPS to Shorewood. And hopefully in a week I can walk straight again. That'd be great.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate it. And thanks for busting pencils.
Yeah, thank you.
1, 2, 3.
We are busting pencils!
We were just on the road with the 50 miles more marchers from Wisconsin on their way to Paul Ryan's house. They've now completed that march. They're back in school. Hopefully their feet have healed now after those 50 miles. And we are speaking, though, with one of those students, Shannon Carlson. Shannon, welcome to the show. How are your feet doing?
My feet are, at this point, pretty good. We got back last Wednesday, so I've had some time to recover.
And the march was successful, do you feel, at this point?
Yes, I definitely do. We got a lot of media coverage, which is good, so we're really spreading the message. The rally at Janesville, we had a rally on the last day. The turnout was pretty good, and in general, it was just fun to meet other people and get to know other people, and we're kind of continuing it, so that's good.
That caught you guys out there at mile, I think it was 44, and so then you guys, in a couple more days then you had finished the march, you ended up in Janesville at Paul Ryan's house. Now, did the speaker join you guys on the stage?
We had actually multiple speakers, so it was more like a rally. We had a bunch of the students who took part in the march speak, and then we had one guest speaker, Pardeep Kaleka.
Okay. But Speaker Ryan didn't show up.
Oh, no. He wasn't there.
Okay.
So it actually took place at Traxler Park, so it wasn't directly at his house.
There were about 200 people that showed up to greet you guys, grandparents, parents, supporters, and in the big rally. What was the takeaway from the rally?
I would say that the rally in general, first we told kind of our experience on the march. So we told all the people who were attending, like, what it was like. And then we had people talk about different aspects of gun violence. And then at the end, we launched a campaign called #50More and #50States. Mm-hmm. And basically with that, we're trying to get 50-mile marches in all 50 states across the country. And so, yeah, that's like when we officially launched it.
Shannon, so on the march, you were out there. What was your favorite moment or your most empowering moment while you were out there?
I would say this is kind of not as specific, but just in general, when we were like chanting, we only had like 40 marchers there, but when we were all like united and just angry, I guess, it just sounded really loud, and we sounded loud, and we sound really united.
You guys sounded really united when you did that Busted Pencils chant, which we'll play for everybody again and again and again, because that was awesome. Well, Shannon, let's move over to one of your other classmates.
Yeah, hi.
Hello, this is Hewat Schutz. We caught you at mile 45. You guys finish up with a rally. What was your big takeaway from the rally?
It was really good. It was really nice to hear, like Shannon was saying, like the different aspects of gun violence. And then we had Lauren talk about hunting, and that was like, I had never heard that perspective before, so that was really interesting to hear about. And yeah.
So when you were out on the march, was there any one moment out on the march that you would, you know, thought was most inspiring, something funny, something that happened out there that people who weren't on the march, you can share with them?
Yeah. I think one moment that was really inspiring was when there was this there was one person who came up with his van, and he had like his kid with him, and they like popped the trunk, and there was like a bunch of water bottles, and like they were like passing them out to everyone marching, and it was just like really nice to see the support and everything. And yeah, it was really inspirational.
That's great. So a van actually pulled up to you guys out there, brought you water and stuff like that, and food, and okay. So now, this wasn't at Speaker Ryan's house, but I saw here that Speaker Ryan issued a statement that was very supportive of you guys, except he's not into taking away constitutional rights. Now, was that the attempt of the 50 miles more march, to take away a constitutional right?
No. Okay. So we're not trying to take away, you know, a lot of people think, you know, you're trying to take away the guns. No, we're not trying to take away anyone's guns. We're trying to make it safer for people. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Hewat. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Lauren Davis, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey. You know, not bad. What do you think now that it's over? I mean, how's it going? What's happening? What's next?
So far, it's really good. We have a lot more students, marchers, that are helping out with organizations such as the ACLU, and currently trying to get voters, those that are 18 younger voters, to vote in Wisconsin Now. And we also, as Shannon mentioned, launched our campaign called 50 Miles in 50 States. And so we're working on that currently.
What is 50 Miles in 50 States? What actually is that campaign?
So it's where, as we march 50 miles here to Speaker Ryan's house, we want in every other state to march 50 miles to one of their representatives or politicians' offices or capital.
So we're trying to make this into a nationwide movement, this 50-mile march. And so have you heard from any other students in any other states or people reaching out for advice or guidance, or is it too early at this point?
Yeah, no. Actually, the day after we finished our march, we had a few states reach out to us. One of them, a few like Maryland, Indiana, Ohio, and a few others. So we're getting that started currently.
Excellent. Now, Lauren, before you go, and we put your superintendent back on, you're a deer hunter.
Correct.
And so you use a gun to go deer hunting with.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And you're not about to give up that gun.
Well, no, but there's a reason for that. So I don't hunt with a weapon of war or use a bump stock or anything, which is what our message is. So the gun that I use it's not necessary for to be taken away. It's because it's not an automatic weapon.
Right, right. Well, Lauren, I applaud all of the students, all of you there. What a great thing that you did. 50 miles more, hopefully we'll get this going across, as you said, 50 states. Let me finish up the interview here with your superintendent, Brian Davis, please.
Brian Davis.
Hey, Brian, it is Tim. So 50 miles from Madison to Janesville, you're the adult supervisor who walked with them. I mean, The finishing, though, the rally, what was that like?
It was inspiring. It was inspiring to be able to see all the people that showed up. We had at least a couple hundred people that showed up on a Wednesday at noon during a spring break week to help support us. So I think one of the interesting points was, you know, most of our communication had been on social media. You know, we were walking literally in the middle of nowhere as we're walking through it. So at times it felt like we were alone. Mm-hmm. Although each night we were able to debrief and we were getting shout outs from, you know, England, Germany, California, you know, really all over the United States, all over the world. So we knew that we had a lot of people that were supporting us, but we also, it was great to have a lot of people physically present at the rally and really create a really neat, inspiring environment for the kids.
Well, and the students we just talked to, so this is something that they're trying to inspire a national movement, 50-mile marches across the country. Is this their idea? Is this your idea?
It's their idea, something that they launched during the march. And I think the idea, one of the questions that the students had to continue to answer, both at Parkland and during our walkouts here, was what's next? You know, that this is a one-time event, and how do you keep momentum going through election cycles and that type of thing? And so the students came up with the idea of being able to have not only Wisconsin participate in a 50-mile march, but can you do that throughout the country to gain some more national support, and then have that be from now until the November elections? So that's kind of how it came to fruition. As they were marching, they had a lot of time to think and talk. So,
well, is it, at this point, is there any is there a Facebook page that people can go to if they want to support this 50 miles across the country that we can put out there?
Yeah. So the 50milesmore.org.
50milesmore.org.
Yep, that's the website that we had used. And then on there is a section for 50 miles in 50 states. So if people are interested in participating, there's a form on there that they can fill out, and then coordinators will be in touch with anybody that's interested. And I think as Lauren had mentioned, we had several states reach out already.
You're out there listening, Busted Pencils listeners. If you want to get behind the students and their awesome superintendent, Brian Davis, jump on board 50milesmore.org. Brian, students, you guys truly busted pencils. Thank you.
Thank you.
From Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, teaching all children.
We are lucky to have him back. He is the president of Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. He is Mr. Kim Schrader. Welcome back to Busted Pencils, sir.
Glad to be back, Tim. Anytime you want me, I'm here.
Well, you better be careful when you ask for that, because we might put you on quite, you know, I could put you on a regular gig, man, if you need it. Just remember, the pay's awful.
I'm used to that. I'm a public educator.
Oh, you're public educator. Yeah, and you'll have no union representation at Bustin' Pencils. So,
dang it. No, we'll talk later. Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, Kim, I think there's a lot of really interesting things going on that I wanted to get your perspective as president of one of the major national teachers unions, Milwaukee being, you know, a major city in the country. But, I mean, look at states. You know, West Virginia went on strike and successfully got some money. Oklahoma's out. Kentucky. Sounds like Arizona. What's happening, man?
Well, I think people are waking up, and I think it's twofold, right? It's been the drastic cuts to public education that we know all too well in Wisconsin, but we know it's not just Wisconsin, it's throughout the country. And not just the cuts, it's also the attack on the profession itself and the people who do the work. And, you know, and it's people suddenly saying, wait, no more. I'm not going to continue doing this in this way. And still believing strongly enough in what they're doing where they don't walk away from the job, but instead they say, you know what, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight to make this profession great, and I'm going to stand up, not just for myself and my colleagues, but for the students as well.
So in Oklahoma, for example, right, 49th in the state in pay, we've seen, at least if you've been paying attention to any television, some of the tattered books they've been using. There have been interviews with teachers that are doing one, two extra jobs.
And I know people are coming back and going, look, those are just people. Those are a few people on the outskirts. I mean, the teachers are fully paid. They're doing fine. And this is just media bias trying to make us buy into the sad teacher story.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and I'm just sort of, well, I'm not baffled by that response because I see it here as well, but I may be incredulous is the right word. I know a lot of teachers from Oklahoma. I get to speak to them regularly through our national union, and their pay scale is ridiculous. I mean, when you're talking making $20,000+ a year after teaching for a long time, you're not going to be able to make a living. And as far as the supplies in the classroom go, you know, I've seen the pictures too, and that's not that unique to Oklahoma. We have a number of schools in Milwaukee where our supplies look exactly the same. So I can see what they're going through with that.
Well, that's I'm glad you went there, because I think what happens is that, of course, depending on if you want to take a side on this, you're going to paint pictures. And so we'll show a tattered book. We'll show a teacher, you know, pumping gas, although I don't think anybody gets paid to pump gas anymore. But, you know, and the same, somebody will say, well, you know, that's not necessarily representative. But here you are saying, wait a minute. In Milwaukee, I can go into classrooms and find supplies very similar, if not worse, maybe.
Exactly. And as far as people working multiple jobs, we have teachers working multiple jobs as well to make ends meet. And we especially have our educational assistants not just working two jobs, but three to four jobs to make ends meet. We have one who just testified a few months ago who had to make the decision of either getting a fourth job or not going to the doctor because she can't afford the health insurance. I don't know why we've allowed this as a society to happen, where the people that work with our students, you know, our most valuable commodity, our students, to be run down like this.
Well, think about that then. Let's come back, because I'm actually amazed. I know people are out there trying their darndest to paint these union thugs who just want greedy money, but it's not working this time, is it?
It doesn't seem to be. I think people are starting to listen and to see themselves what is happening to the people who work in our public schools and our schools on themselves. So it seems like it's a growing force throughout our country, where people are standing up and saying, yeah, you know what? This needs to stop. We need to value our public schools. We need to value the people who work in our public schools as well as our students. And that means putting resources in them.
Well, and when you talk about putting resources, I think this is the one thing I heard, too, that people are getting behind this more to be supportive is that help, you know, reminding people that the wages that teachers make, well, yes, they are, quote, from the tax base. However, the decline in assistance to schools, the decline in direct wages is all a result of choices of, quote, cutting taxes in other places, specifically to large corporations and billion-dollar things, and making a decision that we will, you know, use an austerity approach to public education. And is it now me, I'm a parent, and I'm saying, you know what, I don't like this.
Right. I mean, it's the choice. And again, we've seen it in Wisconsin bright and clear in front of us for the last, I don't know, 7-8 years where we hear tax breaks are needed. And for most of us, we don't notice it, you know, maybe a few dollars here and there, except the wealthy get a huge tax break. Corporations get a huge tax break. And that means there's less money going to our public schools and our students. And that choice, if it's painted as a fair choice, I honestly believe most people would say, I'll pay the extra $10 a year that you're supposedly saving me
right,
to make our public schools strong. But we all know it's really not about the average person and the $10. It's the multi-millions that the wealthy will incur in tax savings, or CEOs.
Well, I think maybe that's also part of what we see, are people saying, wait a minute, okay, I'm only getting $10 of a tax break, and so-and-so's getting, what, $1 million back in, you know, in this, and saying, okay, I don't think I'm really getting a tax break. And so this, as we say, it's, you know, it's truly austerity measures where we're bleeding the lowest resourced places in our public areas anyway, and, you know, providing big money to other places. And I think people are smart enough even to say, you know what, it's $10, but it's not even, you know, you don't need to pay me more ten more dollars, but let's start taxing those who aren't paying their fair share.
Yeah, you're speaking my tune. I completely agree.
Okay. All right, so we see it's national. Finally, teachers are, you know, and I don't want to say finally teachers are speaking up. I think it's finally that they're getting support, and that's what I'm really excited about, is to see the support that's coming behind that. Let's go to Milwaukee. I mean, what's happening? I know the state of Wisconsin, we know we've seen, you know, years and years and years of cuts. Governor Walker now is going to come back and give you guys, you know, $100 more a student now after, I think, cutting about $2,000 a student. He's going to give you a nice big raise. But I mean, Milwaukee Public Schools, how's the budget looking, and what's the future for Milwaukee Teachers Education Association and any type of actions there?
Yeah, we're preparing for a battle. We're in our own budget fight right now. And as you said, we know that the budget from the state has been, well, just awful. Since Scott Walker has been in office with the cuts. But we also know that our district has money to make some small improvements for our members and our students. And instead, they're proposing one of the most drastic cuts in a budget since Act 10 was passed. And the budget isn't out yet, but this is what administration is telling us, is that they're looking to cut over $17 million in employee health care and other benefits that comes out of our employees' pockets. And this would include things like premium increases, which could cost a family another $600 a year, getting rid of the spousal carve-outs, where right now if you're on a family plan, you can have your spouse on the MPS plan. What the administration is proposing is that if the spouse who doesn't work for MPS has an employer that offers health insurance, they no longer would be eligible for the MPS plan, no matter what that health insurance is from their employer. This would put some teachers close to bankruptcy. And for many teachers, this is why they're teaching in MPS. It's not the salary, because it's not very big, but it is for the health insurance coverage. We're talking about a $75 increase in co-pays, starting nearsight clinics where they're going to punish you if you go to your own doctor instead of the nearsight clinic. And we're saying absolutely not. You're not going to do this. And we're ready to fight for it. And in addition, they're talking about a 5% cut to all of the schools, which will directly impact our students. I would argue that the cuts to health care would also directly impact our students if we lose more educators, more qualified folks, and who's going to want to come here, right?
Yeah. Well, that's it. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no. So we're prepping for battle.
Well, I mean, and so you kind of lay it out there. I mean, you know, put it into healthcare, and then the fact that, and I'm glad you are reminding people, too, that there are actually cuts going to the classroom, that the unions are, again, fighting for more money to get to those classrooms. You know, it's not just about wages and benefits. However, there's nothing wrong with having teachers with a moderate health care. I mean, the last thing we want, you know, we don't want sick teachers. But I think one of the things you point out very seriously is people don't realize how much every time we drop one of these benefits, how many qualified people end up leaving or going somewhere else to find what it is that they need. And so we create, again, this continued exodus of teachers. And we see this, I've heard it, whether it's in Oklahoma, whether it's in Arizona, whether it's in West Virginia. This was also part of the problem, is the amount of teachers saying, I can't do this anymore. So, Kim, whether it's the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association or any of the other unions across the country, I tell you what, man, you guys are truly busting pencils, and for that, I thank you.
And I thank you for saying that.
Gay Adelman is an education activist so fed up with her state's politicians' education policy, she decided to try and take their job, literally. She is running for Kentucky State Senator. She is also taking on that famous Alfie Cohn question, what are the schools our children deserve?
I believe that our students deserve schools that have equitable access to instruction, quality instruction, as well as resources. I believe our students need schools that make sure their fundamental needs have been met before we worry about ramping up test scores and accountability measures. I think our schools deserve teachers and staff members who are appreciated and not demoralized. I believe we need schools that are able to work collaboratively instead of competing with each other across districts for scores that don't even reflect the population of the students that attend those schools. And I just want to see funding restored. I want to see the community get behind their schools again. Instead of this manufactured crisis that we're living, I would like for us to fully embrace and support and engage with our public schools again.
Time now for our salute to historian and activist Howard Zinn. This is your moment of Zinn.
We don't have to engage in grand, heroic actions to participate in the process of change. Small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can quietly become a power no government can suppress, a power that can transform the world.
My thanks first and foremost to the students of 50 Miles More, as well as Matt's mom, Kim Schrader, Gay Adelman, and you. I'm Dr. Tim Slecker. Thanks for Busting Pencils.
Log on to BustedPencils.com for the latest trending news, blogs, past shows, and more. Subscribe to our podcast in iTunes and Google Play. And get daily updates by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils. This is Fully Leaded Education Talk, Busted Pencils Radio.